Today on the Cowboys Collective, we got a smoker, y'all. The first day of pads, the defense is trending up. John has his hat backwards. And will Dak Prescott be an MVP? Let's go. The best podcast in the world. A training camp edition. So I made sure that I had my notes today, y'all. I want to make sure that I bring my A game. Scott Walker still Vosh Lombardi co-playing as John Machota. John Machota co-playing as Vosh. Nice alley-oop there, Sky. Listen, we got a lot to talk about, so you guys know the people on the screen. But I do want to say this. I always say this, then I start rapping. Sky, amazing coverage. If you guys haven't, go check out Skywalker still during practice. He's giving thoughts. He's running down. I watch it like throughout, and then I go live after. Sky, man, shout out to you. And then John freaking Machota. Many have tried. This is a shot. I'm sorry. I got to take a jab. Many have tried. Many have failed. There's only one floating Dak.
Bro, I meant to talk to you about that behind the scenes too.
Did you? Dot Scott, com, I had to throw a little shade.
Hey, Dot com, what you doing there? Hey,
y'all gonna steal my man's swag, at least give him credit.
Like, what is that about?
Dot com. Who? Come here. You know what else? They stole some from me too, Sky. But I'm not. Somebody sent it to me. I said that the Cowboys were in a flow state. If I beat Dag on, if they didn't use that as a caption, Scott, just if y'all want the boys, just holler at us. It's okay. Chat, go talk to dot com and tell them. Just give us our just do. John Machota, though, man. We're gonna jump right into here's Johnny because there's a lot going on in the practice field, a few injuries. John, take it away and take your time, sir.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah, so we started today. We're in the five practices in the books as of Tuesday evening. And so the last two, though, have been the ones that matter because those are in full pads. And so we entered today with Brian Schottenheimer talking about how Tyler Guyton is, you know, locked in at left tackle because he separated himself from Nate Thomas, basically, and that, you know, it's not really, trading off reps back and forth. And then we get out to team drills and Guyton wasn't out there for all of them. And then to come to find out, it's because he's dealing with a little soreness in his elbow. So if anybody saw anything in regards to that, of him not being on the field for some certain portions of practice, that would be the one injury update of note. The other one would be DeMarvion Overshown was not out there for team. He's dealing with a little bit of a soreness in his leg. And then Donovan Azaraku exited early. And I think some thought it might have been injury related, but it's not. It was because he got in a little bit of a fight. And I don't think Brian Schottenheimer wanted to see any more of that. And so he got sent to the locker room early. So those are probably the most notable. Jalen Thompson is a guy that he's been working on the cords. He's supposed to return to practice on Thursday. They don't have any practice tomorrow. So just a little heads up there on Jalen Thompson. But so the two padded practices, my biggest takeaway is there really haven't been a ton of big plays for the offense. And that's obviously a good thing. Now, there have been some big penalties, like Dak threw a deep ball today to George Pickens, where Savone Revelle just got in the way, pulled George down. And if he doesn't, George is probably scoring a touchdown on what was at least a 50-yard bomb. So it is pretty refreshing, though. Like, you see things with the defense where you're like, okay, this is definitely looking better than last year's defense. But there were times in last year's practice where the defense looked okay, but not a ton of big plays. So with the pads come on, you want to see the run game, not a lot of big runs. And so looks like it's going in a good direction for the defense. Individual players that I think have stood out over the last 2 days defensively, though, would be Savone Revelle. I thought yesterday's practice is probably his best practice as a Dallas Cowboy. Had a few pass breakups, and he just was doing a good job, whether it be CD, Pickens, kind of getting thrown to the fire. And so if he can hold his own, I just think everything else falls into place because you know what you're going to get in Kobe Durant, solid veteran player. And then Jaron Bland, same deal. Looks like this a solid Jaron Bland that's healthy now. And so corner looks like it could be in pretty good shape. So that's a good thing there. Up front, it's tough to really dissect a ton with Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams going against Tyler Smith and Tyler Booker. I mean, talk about good on good. There haven't been a ton of things to me that have really stood out there.
Well, John,
in terms of good or bad.
You see, the thing is, you're getting these footage. Like, you're getting the footage real quick. You're getting and we appreciate it because that allows somebody like me to sit on that footage for 5 minutes and actually see a ton.
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting a ton, believe it or not. You're seeing some really good things, some really good battles. I talked about this earlier. When we say the phrase iron sharpens iron, there's not a position group battle, offense, defense, that is the epitome more than that. And you're seeing the wins between Quinnen and Kenny, and you're seeing the wins between Cooper Beebe and Guyton and Tyler Smith. Those guys, I mean, you could maybe attest to this. I haven't seen a 50-50 battle, a good-on-good battle going back and forth like this in years.
Yeah.
This defense. It is fun to watch, man.
Yeah, I would say out of the top players, the only thing noticeable to me is that there's been a few more drops from CeeDee Lamb than I've seen in previous early camps. He had another one today. He had a couple in one of the previous practices. They're just, I mean, passes that he's going to catch, you know, 10 out of, or should catch 10 out of 10 times. And that would be the only thing. Like, there's been a little bit of that is, but outside of that, it's like Dak has looked like Dak. George Pickens and Dak are further ahead than where they were last year at this time. Obviously now having a full year together. I mean, there's still a ton of big plays from CeeDee Lamb. Don't get me wrong, but there's just some balls that I guarantee you that they've bothered him, that he knows that he's got to catch some of them. But outside of that, like, the top players have really, you know, been what you expected. Rashawn Gary, I will say, and I tweeted out a video earlier today, like, his hustle on a lot of plays is pretty impressive for a guy that is looked at as, you know, I'm not saying he's a superstar, but he's a good player in the NFL. And to be doing this in these training camp practices for a veteran player like that, I just think that that's a good thing for the rest of the group to see that he can sit there and rush the passer and completely sell out trying to get to Dak, who, hey, if they're tackling to the ground, maybe he gets to Dak. But then he's got to turn around. Dak throws a short, like, screen to Jaden Blue, and then he's just chasing him down from behind. And I think that's a really good sign from veteran guys that, you know, whether it be Rashawn Gary, whether it be Quinnen Williams or Caleb Downs, like, you can just tell that there should be more than enough leadership on this defense to make sure the things that happened last year don't happen again this year.
Let me ask the panel this, because that's great stuff. Sky, you've been covering it wall to wall. I want each of you guys to give me one takeaway through five practices that's just like, this is real, and one that you have to say, I just want to wait a little bit. I'll start with you, Sky.
Well, I do think this defense is going to be better, but we've been saying it, but we're starting to see it. And a lot of it has to do with something that John said, the communication, I think, on all levels.
You hit on that one. That's a good one.
Very impressive. And man, watching Caleb Downs, it was a play the other day where he is telling the right side of defense, hold off on this motion. And then he's telling the left side of the defense, bump down. And he's also having to realize, oh, I got Ryan Flournoy coming at me to try to crack me here. And he keeps his right, he tries to keep his right hand as a weapon to kind of defend off of Ryan Flournoy and keep his left hand available to make the tackle. But he didn't even need to with Flo. He squares up and makes a tackle. And then you see him do that. You see Kobe Durant communicating. You see the defensive line doing these shifts, and they're where they need to be. It just looks, again, from a distance, like these guys are on the same page. And they're still working to get on that, right? I mean, we're only 2 weeks into camp. But it just seems they're on the same page a lot more. And then when those pads came on, so far, it looks like it. Because even when the offense gets wins, it doesn't seem as easy, whether it's
they're working for it.
Yeah, it's either a pass rush kind of gets there, and then, okay, yeah, now somebody makes the catch on the back end because the pass rush can't sack. Or pass rush doesn't get there, but there's a tight window. I mean, Dak has been threading some needles. These receivers have been catching the rock. It really seems like defensively, if I had to say, yeah, this thing is trending up, it's going to be better, but, boy, could it be better than we thought? It looks that way, but we'll see. What was
what's
the other
one thing? What's one thing, Sky, that you say you just want to wait and see?
The tackle situation, okay. Offensive tackle. I think Tyler Guyton has done had a pretty good last 2 days in pads, but I don't believe in the depth. Drew Shelton, to me, he's been getting worked.
He looked rough.
He's been worked. And then Nate Thomas has never really tackled him. Now, he was better today, but I'm worried about the depth. But I can feel better about it if we get into against the Rams in preseason. So I guess wait and see, but I'm still worried about the depth at tackle.
John?
Yeah, I'd say I'm a little bit concerned about inside linebacker, which was the case going in. You need Overshown to be completely healthy. And I think if you have that, I think him and Barham and Winters and James, I think you could be solid there. But I think if you lose any one of those guys, most notably DeMarvian Overshown, I think you're at least a guy away there that you need to make an addition there. Now, something that I do believe is for real also is that inside linebacker, and that is Barham. I do think that.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I do think that he's for real, like in terms of, especially with this defensive coordinator, they can use him a variety of ways that it's going to be tough to keep him off the field. So that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Like that. So that part of inside linebacker is good, but you know, having Overshown out today, I know it's not anything serious, but it just is one of those things when it's a player that has dealt with so many injuries and plays such a violent position that you're always kind of like, all right, I get it. If he's healthy, then you're in good shape. But what if he's not healthy? Then what are you? How is when the five's got to be the four's got to be the three, the two's got to be the one, you know, like how is that type of thing going there? So, yeah. That's one area that I'm interested to see, especially in the preseason games, because you know the starters aren't going to play.
Yeah.
But I do think that like a Caleb Downs, a Malachi Lawrence, a Jayshon Barham, I think that those guys are going to get some reps, and I'm looking forward to seeing them in some of that action, because I think all three of those can contribute at a pretty high level immediately. And so far from what we've seen, it seems like, you know, that can be the case.
This is good. And so on our next show, guys, later this week, we'll start revisiting some of our battles. I'll go back and really write some of those battles. And we'll just keep a ongoing notebook of like how certain said players are doing. For me, y'all, I got to say Kobe Durant in this scheme feels for real. Now, I want to put an asterisk by that. I think he's still, you know, going to get beat at times. But as far as like him playing off man and zone, and like knowing, just, you know what I mean, Scott, knowing how to pattern match. That pick he had the other day was gross. That was a big boy interception. We haven't seen that in a while. Like him coming off of his guy, knowing where the coverage is and being able to grab that interception was crazy. I think that's for real. As high as I've been on Savone Revel, I just want to see it before I jump completely all the way in. Cause I am like getting there with Rebel. Like, wow, his confidence is good. They're using him. The cool thing is they're using him and letting him be himself. And you talked about that, Scott. We would go back and forth. Cause I'll be honest. Like I had questions. I watched some of the tape. Number one, he's healthy and it's real. And he's running on a nine ball. And even on that one play, John, it looked like the ball was underthrown, and it was one of those GP was smart enough. I'm not going to say to jump in his body, but the ball is underthrown. Revel didn't stop himself. But he's step for step with GP. And GP a fast dude, and he runs away from corners. So that's great. On the nine balls and the fades, that's been good money. Like, he's using his length there. But a few times he's getting a bit grabby, but I'm okay. Because that's going to get better. And he said that himself, like, bro, these dudes top five for a reason. And so
that's something that's been an issue with him coming out, though, was the being a grabbiness defender. Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciate him saying, Sky, like, I got to keep learning and I got to keep taking it day by day, because corner is tricky. The good thing, though, Sky, that I was worried about with any corner is confidence. He don't seem to have an issue with confidence.
Really?
Yeah, he don't seem to, like, most corners, I'm like, bro, when they start getting beat, it could just be bad. And he doesn't seem to have an issue, especially the way, like, when the ball's in the air, he gonna battle. And that's what I like. So I just, I like what I see, but I can't dive all the way in on Rebel as far as like saying like he's ready to go, he's locked down. And it's and it looks like Kobe Durant will start the season at corner.
Kobe Since Durant, bro. We can't just gloss over that.
I'm all the way. How do y'all feel about Durant? Like, I didn't even see this this coming for real.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he looks the part, and I knew he'd be a solid veteran coming from the Rams, being a guy that has started. And yeah, so up to this point, yeah, he's probably met what my expectations are. I'm just kind of hesitant on the whole, like, to take it too far, just because, I mean, we've seen corners like a Kyrie Elam look good last year early in training camp, you know? And so because of that, I'm always a little hesitant. But up to this point, though, yeah, Kobe Durant for sure.
See, I think the difference between Kyrie and Kobe is proven in the league.
For sure.
Kyrie was not. And it was always, to me at least, if we go back and listen to the...
This is a
be cautious situation, because if you go listen to people back in Buffalo, it was like he's always looked okay in camp. And then you get to the season, it's like he can't get on the field because he's not been good. Where Kobe has played in big games, NFC championship games, big divisional round playoff games. He was their best corner last year, if I'm not mistaken. He's learned, he said, from Jalen Ramsey's of the world, ton of experience. If he's doing it in camp, there's no reason for me to believe that he won't do it in the season, because I've seen it. But man, talk about, I always thought it was a good fit, but to see it actually happening, right? It's beautiful to see, because now, granted, very early, but if there was any doubt, it's gone for me. He fits this. He's a veteran. He's a leader. He's a playmaker, and he's now shown a playmaking ability. Don't really need to see much more from Kobe. We want to see Deron Bland, and we want to see Savon Revel continue to stack. So, as you said at the beginning of this show, John, the cornerback room, if it can be good, I think that changes the entire dynamic of this defense. Because we seen last year, if you get pressure, it might not matter if your DBs suck, because then the quarterback can just get the rock off. So.
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to go to offense, just because we haven't really talked a lot. I was just going to name a few players real quick.
Sure.
There's been certain moments out here where there's no question to me that Ryan Flannoy will be just fine as that number three running back. Early on in camp, Jaden Blue looks like he's ready to make that jump to be your complimentary number two back to Javonte Williams. And then Brevin Spanford, same deal there, looking every bit like what we expected to be that number two tight end. I'd say the only other thing on offense, I haven't really, there's been nothing that's really impressed me all that much from either of the backup quarterbacks. Like, they've been fine, but there's not anything there where it's like really one has stood out from the other, you know, where you'd be like, oh yeah, it's going to be tough for this guy to be. I mean, that's probably going to be settled in the preseason games anyway, but there just really hasn't been a lot of, you know, big plays. And maybe that's the way that they're designing it, that they're just trying to just go through the progressions on the offense and whatnot, but there just hasn't been anything that's really wowed me through this first, what's been now a full week we've been out here. And then the other thing on offense I wanted to say, with Princeton Fant now out for the season with his knee injury that he's going to have surgery on, today was the most noticeable practice for Michael Trigg, particularly in the passing game. So, you know, with Fant going down for the year, that opens the door for another one of these tight ends. Not to say that maybe one of them doesn't beat out Fant anyway, but Michael Trigg is definitely one that the arrow seems to be pointing up there too.
Yeah, for the backup, for Joe Milton, let me just say this. I got to hit him with the Dumb and Dumber, Jim Carrey, la, 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 la. I don't care what he does in camp. I got to go see it in preseason, because, you know, he's made some good throws in the camp, and then we got the preseason, and we're like, damn, dog, what happened to the strides? And look, just stay healthy, continue to progress from a mental standpoint for him. Sam Howe, he's got enough film. This is all about Joe Milton in the preseason for me.
Yeah, Sam Howell's been fine. I mean, he had a nice ball on yesterday in some red zone work on a throw to Marquez Valdez-Scantling in the back of the end zone. I mean, nice ball, and then Scantling just dropped it. So, I mean, he's had some plays, and nothing's happened out here that's changed the way I felt. Like, it's, and I think a lot of people
offensively, John.
Yeah, I just, it's
one of those things. No. Can I fight you a little bit?
Wait, what are you talking about offensively? Like, are you talking about just in the quarterbacks, or
Oh, you're talking about a quarterback. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I've
just been on the quarterbacks. I was just going to say that. I just don't like, I still believe that Joe Milton is the guy that they would like down the road to have on the roster, because maybe they feel like another year, you know, that he can develop into something because of the big arm and athleticism. But if they need to win a game, like one game here, one game there, they need a guy to come in because Dak gets hurt in like the third quarter or something like that. I still believe it's Howell. Like, just because of his experience, like, he's going to drive the bus. He's not going to do anything too crazy. You know, he's going to get the ball out of his hands to his playmakers and just keep the chains moving, you know. Probably not going to make a ton of wild plays. Probably not going to make a ton of mistakes.
Sam? Yeah, Sam might throw some of them things, though.
Well, he hasn't up to this point. From what we've
not in camp.
So far,
I mean, in a game. Yeah, he has not
done anything, because believe me, I've wanted to get some video of something happening with the twos or the threes, and there just hasn't been a lot of great opportunities there, because there hasn't been a lot of challenging down the field.
We know John, a shooter. I'll say this to your offensive point. I'm very impressed with Jaden Blue. I'm very impressed with the way he's run the ball. But, man, the way he looks catching those swing passes, my God, that looks like it's real. The screen.
With the Tyler Smith out in front of him, man, that is nice.
That's a lot. Hey, John, bro. You see, hey, say it again, Sky.
They're getting intentional. We talked about, I don't know if it was where it was at, we talked about this, but if you can get Jaden Blue in that James White role, getting you 40 to 60 receptions, and you let, you know, Jay Will and whomever else behind him tote the rock a ton, and yes, of course, Jaden Blue run a little bit too. Boy, you're talking about an element to this offense you have not had weaponized since, I don't know, Zeke in 2016. You haven't weaponized a running back in years. So,
and I think that little swing passes are just an extension of the run game. That's it. If getting a Guyton on the move, getting a Smith on the move, it's just an extension of the run game. And every carry, first of all, he hasn't put the ball on the ground, because I've been like, hey, is he going to cough one up? And he had a drop. Has he had a fumble? I don't.
Not a fumble. We had a drop that turned into a pick. But other than that, bro, it's been a
great play. He did have that one. Yeah. Malik Hooker. There was that, like, three. Yeah. But to me, I like that, like you said, John, that one where you're getting him in space, because that's all it is extension of the run game. This is how I equate it, fellas. When defenses come in here, they're going to say, we have to stop 88-3. And who else can beat us, if anybody else can beat us, which we have the offense that will run the ball and do certain things. But like you said, Scott, if there's
with
a
that
way,
being said, today was definitely Jake Ferguson's best day too. He had a few plays. Really nice grabs.
I saw the scene.
Yeah.
Man, he got out. Remember, no more all flash fry hard, because they, you know, allowing these tackles to kind of one-on-one. And he got out. They did a switch release bunch formation, and he got up the seam. Not up the seam. He got out on a flat. Not really a flat, but he got out on a five-yard outer and then turned it upfield on the move. He wasn't catching a rock stationary, man. So that was good to see.
Yeah. Oh, that I have no, like, Dak is gonna install trust in Fergie, and it did look like he was making a lot of plays as well. Let's talk about this defense.
We can't just gloss over this Blue thing, bro. Like this, in order for him to gain the trust to be that guy that gets 40, 50, 60 receptions, you know what you got to do? You got to be able to pass block. And Jaden Blue has stepped up these last couple days.
That play against meeting these,
a couple. What not? Wasn't it? He's been doing it for since the pass came on and before the pass, I think. He sticks his nose in there. And, you know, I really wasn't remembering how he was as a pass blocker in Texas. I was just so caught up in his runs and his catching the rock out the backfield. But if he can become a respectable pass blocker in the way that Tony Pollard, it took him 4 years to become, then you're talking about a guy that you don't have to just have a tell when he's out there. That's huge, because now he can run it a little bit. If he doesn't run it, he can pass protect Dak, and then obviously he can go out on routes. And not only on swing passes, I've seen Jaden Blue attack the middle of the field. All these running backs, to be honest, they've all been kind of getting out and not kind of just back there trying to be the fifth or the sixth or seventh pass protector. And that's what I'm all about. Put as many weapons in field of play is possible. The only way you can do that is if your offensive line can hold up.
Yeah, and there's been some reps. I done seen your cousin getting spanked a little bit.
Oh, man. Terrence has had struggles. Today was his best day, though. I don't want to today was really good.
I got to catch up on today.
It was a really good day. But yesterday, him and Nate Thomas, it's going to work. I know who he's been beating, though, which has been interesting. And that's Isaraku. Isaraku could not get around Terrence Steele. It's really weird to see.
You know, and that's where I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to. So great stuff on the blue stuff. But with Isaraku, it's interesting because coming out of Boston College, we looked at him as a pass rush. Like, I looked at him as a pass rush guy. Like, he had these moves. And the thing is, I feel like when you are a pass rusher and you always try to capture the edge, it doesn't even really, you don't really have to be a great tackle to know, like, man, you know what? I'm just keep washing you out. I'm just keep kicking you out. And I'm just wondering, like, when we'll see Isaraku start to work on those counters, speed to power, a long arm, like more in his bag. And now again,
he got a bag, Sky,
but we haven't seen it really. Not in the pass rush, not in the pass rush sense, you know, and that's interesting. But defensively,
why you go sign Von Miller?
That may be why you go sign. Are you telling us something, John?
I mean, that would be the most likely move that they would make. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't other moves that could potentially be made, but I would think that of people that could potentially be available, I think that's the one that kind of makes the most sense, you know?
Do y'all think that we need more pass rush?
Nothing has changed my mind from the start of camp. And again, awesome to see Rashawn Gary doing well, Malachi getting a couple of dubs. Even Isaraku has won some too, but enough for me to be like, no, I keep telling you, outside of Rashawn Gary, name me the other pass rusher that has been a consistent pass rush presence in their career. Don't worry, I'll wait. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can love the promise. We can love the hope. We can shout out to my guy Koye, can show us all this film and get us all hype. But at the end of the day, the reality is the reality, the facts are the facts. Name me.
Name it.
The other pass rusher outside of Rashawn Gary, who has been a consistent, productive pass rusher in the National Football League. There's not one on the roster. And if you're okay with that, fine. We'll just lean on the PPP loan potential, right? Projection.
Yeah,
but no production.
Yeah,
that's cool. Me, why is it? What is it going to hurt you to go get more pass rush help? Doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah,
yeah, and it just seems to fit.
James
with, like,
Houston does not fall into that category. He has one season, and that was four years ago or something. Where he had 8 sacks, and then 3 years later he had 5 sacks. That ain't a consistent pass rush presence. It's not what I'm talking about.
The other thing about James Houston in this defense, sadly, from what I know, this defense, they don't want to give tells away in the sense of like, hey, just so you know, we coming to get you. Like, that's not what they want. Guys who can play and mix, like who can fit in the actual scheme. So, yeah, hey, I wouldn't.
But Foots, I'll take a DPR guy.
If you get Von Miller in here, I'm cool with. I'm definitely good with Von Miller, Sky.
Yeah, because you're top four. You could rotate those guys out, and you'd feel really good about Von, Gary.
The problem, and Lawrence. John, not to cut, I'm sorry, but the problem with James Houston, because people have said, hey, don't forget about Houston.
Yeah, he can be your 5.
James, exactly. He's cool as a 5, even as a 4-ish, right? But again, I ask you, if you're cool with hope, we got a ton of hope. Hey, we want to lean into that, fine. I would love to get Wish. We would try Von Miller or Max Crosby or whoever, Alex Highsmith, Josh Sweat, whatever you want to call it. Somebody that is a proven factor in this league that where they put on the tape, we know this. We gotta worry about this guy. You know, you can't quite really say that outside of Rashawn Gary right now.
Yeah, and like you said, Domin Isaraku hasn't had the camp where it's like, man, he just whooping dudes off the edge, or he's just making play. Have you noticed him, John, or is it just been like sporadic?
Really, no, I would say Gary to me has been the most noticeable.
Yeah, Gary, without the pads, Gary was looking like he was playing in pads.
Yeah,
dude, physical.
Has Malachi Lawrence been noticeable to you, John?
A little bit. Nothing crazy though. The other thing is, though, for me, though, is I'm always standing downfield, you know,
yeah,
because My video game is like a linebacker. There's a lot of trash in your way. There's a lot of security and other people standing in your way. So if you get with these nice phones farther down the road, you can get the entire field. And so though that makes it a little tough though. If you're right by the line of scrimmage, you can see sacks a little bit better, you know, whereas, you know, in a game, obviously you'd see the quarterback go to the ground, but because they're not going to the ground, the guy just runs by him. It's a little bit harder to notice, you know, but nothing that stood out to me as much as Gary. I'll put it that way.
For sure. So with that being said,
I would be very interested in Von Miller. I would be very interested in Max Crosby, obviously, but I'd be very interested in Von Miller. If this is just one of those deals where he wants to not be in a training camp and he's like, I've been doing this for a long time. I'll be ready when the season starts. I know I'm not going to be a guy that you need out there all the time like I'm in my prime, but I'm a guy that I can show you up until even last season. I can be available for you for the whole season, and I can be a veteran presence, and what I provide, you can see it's there on tape, and I don't have to be the guy. I can be part of a group, and I just think that elevates the entire group, so I would be very interested in that.
I think Stephen Jones kind of hinted at that type of signing, where he literally said, we've been looking at guys that have, older guys with tread left on their tires that may not want to be at the start of training camp.
Yeah.
Two dudes came to mind for me. I know Foots don't want one of them. And Bobby Wagner and Von Miller. That those two literally fit the profile of the two positions you're looking for. Veteran guys who can come in here and elevate your room and help your room, that have things left on their tread on their tire, that don't want to be at the beginning of training camp. He kind of laid it out for you. There aren't too many others out there in free agency that fit that mold, that technically fits your scheme too. So yeah, if they don't see enough preseason, I think they'll wait at least one preseason game. Not shock me if they make a call.
You want Lawrence and Ezeraku to get as much work as possible, absolutely. You know, and then see what you got and see where they're going as these padded practices go on. And then, you know, probably even more notably of all of it is that Rams practice, that Saints practice, see what they do, see how they look going against another team when they go live. And and then judge from there. But the Von Miller thing just makes sense too, because it also seems like he wants to be with the Cowboys. So you have that too, where I don't know necessarily you got to get in this bidding war with other teams. It just seems like it seems like it would fit together pretty nicely.
Yeah. I think that, I know for me, let's talk about it after the read, because I wanted to ask you guys about a few more things on this defense as far as how we're trending. But it sounds like the need really will be defensive end. Hey, guys, this video is brought to you, this show is brought to you guys by Prize Picks. All you got to do is, if you win, you got to hit now. You got to hit. $5 can get you up to 150 if you win. I remember Sky to tell me, hey, we just ain't giving out this 150 now. HMA just ain't giving it out. You got to hit. And some of these plays, man, I just feel like, all right, I would say I'm going to give you guys a freebie. You guys should know, looking at the Niners injuries and just looking at how things are looking, I'm going less with that one. If I'm looking at Brock Purdy's over and under, I don't know if he's going to be a 4,000-yard passer. Number one, just watching Mike Evans run routes, he looked like he a step away from the old people's home. And then number two, Debo probably be doing a lot of in the backfield stuff, but I don't know if he'll be racking up yards. And number three, they already lost one of their bigger Ricky Pearsall for the year. Was it for the year? He's out. Yeah, don't call me on that, y'all. But I know Ricky Pearsall is out right now. But if you guys look through the plays, I mean, CeeDee Lamb, I think I'm taking him over 1,200. He seems like he's on a mission, more than 1,200. And I think I'm going to go, I think I'm cool with going over 4K for Dak. I think I go more there as well. We'll talk about him later. But
as long as he's healthy.
He in a flow state.
Yeah, man.
I call him flow state Dak.
This is off. And I get it. The defense has had, you know, a really good couple days making it competitive. That's good. That's what you want to see.
Yeah.
But I definitely think once we get to the regular season and we get into this thing, year two in this offense, him, George Pickens, CD Lamb, Jake Ferguson. And y'all just talked about it. Add in Jaden Blue, add in Flo, add in Brevin Spanford. It's just too much.
It's
4,000, y'all. Come on, man.
4K. I think I'm with you still. So Prize Picks, thank you for sponsoring the Cowboys Collective. Use code HMA. Think about us when you do it, as we will think about you. Pray for us as we pray for you.
Think about it.
Hey, and if you guys wonder, Vach is still on the show. He just couldn't make it tonight. He'll be in doing some training camp stuff on the ground pretty soon.
Yeah, he's finna go out there. Yeah,
he's finna go out there. So you guys make sure you show him some love. And he's been covering things on his channel as well. Make sure you guys show John, Sky, all of us some love, man. Sky said it, and I want to talk to you guys. Do you feel like this defense is trending the right way? We kind of talked about it, but I don't want to glance over it because I got to tell y'all, this Christian Parker has guys playing with confidence. The Caleb Downs pick seems to have really good early returns. John, you could speak on it. You're on the field. Just listen to him interview. He's all about ball. How are we trending defensively? I know it's early, but we have enough sample size to kind of talk about what the defense has been. How do you guys feel about the defense and the way it's trending?
I mean, I think it's trending in the right direction. You know, I don't think it'll be like one of the top 10 defenses in the NFL. You know, when Caleb Downs asked about it, he's talking about how he expects them to be dominant because all the defenses he's played on are dominant. I think dominant's a little strong for me right now, but certainly improved to the point where they should be the defense that we kept talking about last year. If they could just be this on defense, this could be a playoff team. Like, they should be on that level. And if you make another move or so, then yeah, then obviously the ceiling goes higher from there. But I think this is setting up to be a big year for Quinnen Williams. I think Williams and Kenny Clark in the middle, I have a lot of trust in. I think they'll be okay on the edges to potentially good, depending on if there's another move to be made or if Lawrence or Azarakou takes a step. I have my concerns about inside linebacker, like I said earlier. Corners, I feel a little bit better after seeing Bland and Revel out here. And maybe not just on their play, but just the way they're moving and carrying themselves. They look healthy. That was obviously a big question mark when you go back to OTAs and minicamp. And then safety, I feel as good about as I have any time I've covered the Dallas Cowboys, because they generally don't invest what they have in safety. Maybe a small concern on that Jalen Thompson has spent a lot of time on the cords off to the side, at least more so that than actually practicing. So as long as that's nothing of note, then I feel good back there. So basically what I'm saying is if you could maybe add another inside linebacker and another edge rusher, I'd feel really good about this defense. Right now, I think they, you know, have the potential to be top 20. But I don't know if I would go top, you know, 15, top 10, anything like that quite yet. But maybe they, you know, the other thing that you got to factor in is just health. If they stay healthy throughout the season, even if they don't make any notable moves, it could be a defense that under a first year DC gets better as the season goes on, you know, that they keep building confidence and, you know, they're comfortable with the communication and whoever the green dot is. And then they just keep kind of snowballing. That could happen. But I would have to see more than I have in just five training camp practices and only two of which are in pads.
Yeah, that part right there is true, the health part. And already we're kind of seeing like, damn, Demo, JT getting dinged up. And it kind of brings me back to reality a little bit that, okay, this is going to happen. Guys are going to get hurt. You know, it's a game of attrition. Can you last to week 17, playoffs or whatnot? And if not, do you have the depth? We do in certain areas. I don't believe we do in others. And that's where the two areas, the big ones, right? Inside linebacker, you mentioned. And pass rush, we just got to, if we can get some more depth there, I feel even better. But with that said, I feel better about this defense than I did before. Hell yeah, we're trending in the right direction. I think a lot of it has to do before we even got out to Oxnard. Everybody on the same page, like I said, from top down, from the front office to the coaches, to the players, the system and the philosophy. And I can't gloss over the coaches. I keep hearing, and John, I'd love to know more if you're really looking at the coaching or not. But it just feels like this coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball is legitimate. And, you know, we've kind of been projecting a lot about them, but I can't remember who brought this up. All of these guys are hungry assistants looking to likely be defensive coordinators or head coaches at some point. And they're kind of in their trending upward trajectory as young coaches. You're not getting respects to Zimmer and respects to Coach Z and respects to who was it last year? Flus and Borgonzi. Those dudes weren't trending up. Those guys were either out the league for years or literally trending down after being fired. All these guys have been young coaches or have been a champion as an assistant coach in Marcus Dixon, been a part of good stuff and looking to be even better. And you can hear, I'm not there to say see, but you can hear that these guys are having an effect. And I'll say this, BT Jordan too, kind of singling out, don't mean to go off a tangent here. Sam Williams, to me, came in the National Football League and for 4 years, he opened his bag, nothing was there because he didn't have anything to go to. It was, I'm going to beat you around the corner before I hurt my knee, or I'm going to run down the middle after I hurt it. There was nothing to go to. Flies
flew out his bag, Scott.
Wasn't nothing in there, bro. Dust. Cobwebs. I think he might have put a hammer or something in there. I saw one move, and I got to credit BT Jordan because BT Jordan, you see him working on that double hand swipe stuff. Man, I ain't see Sam Williams double hand swipe nothing but smack somebody upside the head and get a 15-yard penalty prior to this practice. So I got to give credit to a BT Jordan too. So look, man, it's all there for this defense to be better. That's why I'm bullish on it being better, right? How much better? Health and depth. Those are question marks that I don't care how high you are on this team are legitimate question marks.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a part of me that just will always go back to just in covering this team in recent years that there's no way anybody thought the defense with a veteran defensive coordinator, former head coach, would be as bad as it was last year. So I always got that in the back of my mind. And then I always got the Dan Quinn final game against the Packers where I'm just like, I cannot believe the defense looked that bad. Where you just really don't have those same feelings with the Dallas Cowboys offense. So it's all, and that's also with the way the team is built and the way the money is spent. So, and it has been for a long time, but I'm just saying that because that's why I'm always cautious with the Cowboys defense because I'm like, all right, we'll see. We'll see. Like it's everything right now though, I will say is heading in the right direction. Like the Christian Parker thing looks great. Can't give you one thing that I've heard, seen, whatever over the last, 4 or 5 months that would make me think anything differently than the hype that was there when they hired him. So yeah, everything is trending in the right direction for sure.
That's good.
Now the only thing missing is you got to see it in the games.
I still think we're on, and again, this may be just Kool-Aid, whatever. I still think we're on a Mike McDonald route. Mike McDonald took a 26th ranked bad defense in Seattle. Year one, it was, I believe, top 15, right? Very respectable defense. You saw the young pieces. You're like, oh, there's something there. And a lot of analysts said, hey, man, you got to look out for Seattle. They were 10-7 and didn't make the playoffs, and their defense improved drastically, right? And then year two, from very respectable defense to elite. Like, I can see that happening with the Cowboys, with this coaching, and now with the philosophy being on, one page. A lot of the guys they brought in seem to be bridge guys to get them to year two. Guys that are good. Durant's a good player, but he's on a one-year deal. Otito Agbaño, one-year deal. Bullard, one-year deal. You can go down the line. There's a ton of one-year deals, but these guys play a good role. Right? They can come in, they can help you go from quite literally the worst defense to hopefully a top half of the league defense. And so I think that is very realistic. If you want to get into the elite territory, to the we can score 16 points and win territory, to the we can go deep in the playoffs because our defense is winning games for us territory, because that happens to some of these teams, you're going to need more. I'm not going sitting here in August, you're going to need a little bit more. I'm sorry, I don't drink that much Kool-Aid. I ain't got that much Kool-Aid in me.
Yeah, and I just got to point out with the McDonald thing, though, the difference is that's an organization that will be defensive first, and they've shown that. I mean, I can just use Mike McDonald as an example. Great head coach, obviously. They've already won a Super Bowl with him. I don't know if he's pre-winning Super Bowl. I don't know if that's ever the Dallas Cowboys hire under Jerry Jones to be their head coach. You know, that just Jerry leans to these offensive guys, wants to score points. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is something about like a Seattle and, you know, even like obviously New England with Belichick and like a Pittsburgh and some of these organizations that they're built with. They're like, no, we'll have a defensive first coach, where it's just like under Jerry Jones, that just, he seems to always lean, not always, but almost always lean towards offense, put up the big points, you know, score all that. That's why I keep going back to the, not to get too far off topic, but like, let them get to the NFC championship game or really have like a ton of success this year. And Jerry's not letting George Pickens walk out of the building if that happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, not only do they have success, but like CD and George both put up crazy numbers. Dak has his best season and all this stuff. Like, you think Jerry's going to let, he's going to find a way to keep George Pickens in that building. And I don't know that I can 100% say that if George Pickens is a defensive player. You probably can. But I'm saying the way Jerry is, like, Jerry loves offense. He loves scoring points. That's his track record. Damn, speaks for itself.
Marcus Ware gone. They got rid of Micah. They kept Tony forever. Now you know he got hurt, but yeah. Tyron Smith, they held him on. Zach Martin. Damn.
Yeah.
He got, yeah, you might be on something there, John.
John got a little point. I mean, listening to you guys talk, I think you guys both make great points. If you get this defense, I'm gonna say this. Whatever you gotta do in your mind to get this thing to top 15, you feel really good. Because I tell you this. We sit here in this seat covering this team. Y'all some bad offenses, man. It's some offenses that wish they had made a play. Say it again, Scott. Scott used to do these think pieces on the offensive coordinator. And well, you got answers now, dude. You got a running game. Don't let this run game start to hit now. Don't let year two Clayton start to hit.
Don't let Blue become brown.
Blue get crazy. So I think to kind of put a bow on it, John, you said it. It's trending the right way. How do we get it over the top? If that's Von Miller in a fastball situation, do it. If that is a pick for Highsmith, that's the route I want to go do it. If you want to go get Max Crosby, do it. If you feel like that can get you to top 15, to where you can now get 2 to 3 more stops a game to get your horses back on the field, then do it. Then do it. Because to be honest with y'all, I do think that this defense is trending the right way. But I've said all along, you're not going to fix a defense in one offseason. Not this bad. I've been that guy that said a defense that was this bad fixed and be able to win with it. No, I still think that you're going to have to throw the offense alley-oops. I do.
100%. I do think levels. I think it depends on what your mindset is, right? Or is your expectation top 5, top 10, championship level defense? Or is your expectation, hey, I think we just want to see improvement to the point where can this defense help us get into the playoffs and be competitive? I think it really depends where your perspective is here. And if you live in the top 5, top 10 world and it doesn't happen, you may feel let down. But if they finish 15, 16, 17, is it a letdown from the 39th ranked defense to 15, 16, 17 in the first year of an entire new philosophy, first year defensive coordinator and a ton of new guys? Absolutely not. However, if you're like, hey, we close, like Jerry said, and we believe that we think we could build this defense a championship defense, you don't sit on your hands. Yeah. You go get the Max Crosby, like you said, or you go get the highest member, or whomever the player or two is. You go get that dude, because that is what you consider a hump player. You need that to me.
I'll say this,
echelon.
If this defense gets to top 15, you win 11 games. I'll book it, and you make a playoff run. Because there's only so many defenses that can deal. There's like 3-4 defenses that can deal with this offense consistently. It just is what it is.
So I always do this. There are pillars. There are pillar statistical, whether defense or offense. But there's stats that matter to me. And then there's stats that, what the hell ever, who cares? When you say top 15, I want to know what top 15. Because if you're top 15 in yards, say you're 15th in yards, but you're 21st in turnovers, that ain't great. If you're 18th in points scored, but you're 9th in pass defense, that ain't great. So it's like, for me, if we're top 15 in points, turnovers, third down defense, red zone defense, that can compete in the postseason. But if those pillars aren't above average or at least really damn good at one of them or two of them, then okay, maybe year two. But if you top 15 and all that, hey, dog, listen, we partying, fam.
The run defense is big, too, though. You're going to have
run defense for sure. That's
a really good run defense, which I think they have.
I'm a big DVOA guy, but I'm a big DVOA guy when they do the adjustments and all like that. So I'm with you, Scott. You definitely don't. You need to get the ball back for sure. And I think you need to stop the run. But this is good stuff. This last 10 minutes, we've been talking about this defense for the last 15. I really want to talk about Dak Prescott and what you've seen out of him, John, because I just remember the days, and I'm a huge Tony Romo fan. But, man, just seeing Dak, how locked in he is, he looks healthy. He's not missing reps. He's not taking days off. He's not doing the whole, I got to sit for a day. They're not doing – he is locked in, and I call it a flow state. Could Dak Prescott win an MVP this year, y'all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, he definitely could. I don't think that there's anything that Drake May did last year that Dak Prescott couldn't do. And he was in the running for MVP down to the very end of the season. So I don't think there's anything that Sam Darnold did that Dak Prescott can't do. And I do find it interesting that, you know, I don't know, what was it, less than a month ago, that Jeremy Fowler rankings come out for the different position groups, which was based on intel from NFL people, coaches, front office, scouting. And Dak was, I believe, sixth on his list. And then Mike Sando from The Athletic has his QB tiers, which I know Mike very well. I know how much time and effort he puts into that. He talks to a ton of people around the league. I don't know that you could do a more thorough ranking than he does. And he's been doing it for several years. And I believe Dak was seventh in that one. So it's like, as he's getting older, age-wise, it just seems like he's getting more and more respect around the league and what he's able to do. Obviously, having CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens helps him a lot to reach that max potential. But yeah, as long as Dak Prescott stays healthy, he should be one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And if the team's playing well, you know, that's the key with the Drake May thing. You got to win a bunch of games. So if you tell me the Cowboys are winning, you know, 11, 12, 13 games, then yeah, Dak Prescott is going to be the one that's in that mix for sure. That's all I got on that real quick. I'm just going to say, I just saw Oscar in the chat mentioned about it when we're talking about the defense. If I'd seen any corner blitzes, I really haven't. But with that, I will also say that, you know, Brian Schottenheimer told us the other day, like when he was asked about Pickens in the slot, we haven't seen much of that either. And like he said, he's like, well, yeah, I mean, we do that, but we don't show it to you guys. Like, so just so you guys know, like, there are walkthroughs in the morning. So this usually goes on probably about 45 minutes before Brian Schottenheimer's morning press conference. And so they're out there on the field working on different things. Now they're not in pads, obviously. It's a walkthrough, but that's when they're going to work on a lot of that other stuff. And I'm sure you'll see some of the corner blitzes and things like that from time to time, maybe in a preseason game or something like that. But they're not showing a ton of, you know, really wild plays or anything super crazy right now. And I mean, frankly, if they did, that is dominating social media. You know, they do something wild with CD or George and great. Now you've shown it, you know, and Schottenheimer was kind of kicking himself last year because he got kind of annoyed with something that happened in that Rams practice and then ran this deep ball play and he wishes he could have had it back. He's like, I don't need to be showing that in a practice against the Rams. And so I think, especially with him year two as head coach, I think he's being very guarded about what they show, especially early in camp. So just because you're not seeing something doesn't mean that that's not going to be part of the offense. Doesn't mean it's not going to be part of the defense.
You can definitely believe there will be corner blitzes. If you don't think Caleb Downs is finna blitz, I'm not worried about what they're not showing.
At a high clip as well.
For that reason, man. I'm just happy to get what we can get, but I'm also of the understanding that you're not going to see everything out here at these practices. It might be worse against the Rams. I'm telling y'all right now, we play the Rams. If you think for a second,
hey, I'm just going to go out there
and run his offense. It ain't happening, so quit asking. So it might look worse. You know what I mean?
It's funny because even in the walkthrough, like before that, what practice was that? That would have been Saturday, where it was the opening press conference and all of that. You know, fans were lined up for, I mean, the first guy in line got there at like 2 a.m. And so you get and you park, but then you have to line up and then you get moved into the gates, but you still aren't allowed into like where the stands are and things like that. They did not let anybody in and did not open the gates until everybody was off the field from that pre-walkthrough, just because they don't want any video of or any still photos or anything from those walkthroughs getting out there. So I'm just saying that there are more, there's more going on than just what we're able to video and show.
As it should.
Right.
Scott, you were going to say something about Dak.
Oh, the MVP. Let me just say this real quick. Then I will respect the segment.
I'm here to tell you right now.
We don't care.
Let me tell you, we don't care.
I don't give a damn about that MVP. I don't give a damn.
I kind of want him to get one still.
I don't. The only MVP I care about is Super Bowl MVP. I'm over it, bro. There was a time where I had the good fight in me because I felt like he was being disrespected. He ain't disrespected no more. It took forever for people to respect him nationally. And you got, I'm not going to say this because it's not fair. Everybody got their opinion. You got other Cowboy fans who think he sucks and he ain't this, he ain't that. You're not going to change their mind. So I'm done fighting that fight. Don't got to fight the national media no more. They respect who he is. Most other fans truly did respect him. It was just, you know, them damn Eagle fans. They just, you know, trolls. Dak been a good quarterback for 10 years. Very good quarterback for 10 years. He was in MVP discussion multiple times. He's probably going to be in it again if he's healthy. I don't care. Just stay healthy, bro. And if this defense is middling, he will be in that race because you'll win games. It's really about that. You know, you can't be 6-12, what is it, 6-11, and be MVP in this league. It's not happening, bro. He can go 45 touchdowns, 10 picks. It doesn't matter. It's not going to happen. So as long as the Cowboys are in that 10, 11, 12, 13 win range and Dak is who Dak is, yeah, he'll be an MVP. Cool, that's offline.
He's currently
I want the February
right now.
MVP. He's what?
He's currently eighth right now in odds. He's behind Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford, Justin Herbert, Drake May, and Patrick Mahomes. So, I mean, it is a very – goes to the quarterback of a team that's doing very well at the end of the regular season. So they could certainly be in that mix.
I mean, look what happened with Burrow. Burrow was going crazy.
Yeah.
He really was like the MVP that one. But he got hurt or something like that. And their team was trash. And I think he actually didn't get hurt. Their team was just trash. But Burrow was crazy. So it's really about winning, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's winning at that time? Man, good stuff today, fellas. Let's get to a few super chats. And we'll call it a night because we will be back. Oh, we only got one. If you guys got any questions, let us know. Why can't we have a top 10 defense next year? Sidney Jones says, and he drops a $2. Thank you, Sidney.
You could. You just probably have to make a move for Max Crosby.
I think a lot of things have to go your way for it to be top 10. I don't think this is just one of those, oh, we're returning this great defense. Easy to, I mean, sure, we can live in this, like I said, hopeful. La La Land, not saying La La, that's not cool to say that. But this hopeful thought that, yeah, we could be a top 10, sure. But you're going to need probably more help. You're going to need health, and you're going to need some things to go your way. That's a lot of hope is all. Yeah, I don't think the Seattle Seahawks was hoping in year two. Yeah. I know.
I would say the personnel is just like, you just got to go get, you got to get top 10 players. Like, you need guys in here. You know what I mean? Like, Max Crosby will help a lot. If you have a defensive line with Max Crosby, Kenny Clark, and Quentin Williams, you'll have a top 15 for sure and top 10 defense.
Not to take, you're also going to take into account first year coordinator. Like, I hope y'all don't do this to my guy. He's going to have moments. CP's going to have moments where it's like, damn, what was that? You know, it wasn't a good game. Wasn't a good series, whatever. Year one, man. Year one. Remember that. That's all I'm saying. When Cowboys, somebody scored 30 and we all pissed off, ready to fire CPs. Year one, there might be some hiccups.
I think you'd look pretty foolish if you did that after just how bad everything was last year. If they're just sitting there and playing solid defense, communicating well, not having a bunch of just awful performances against washed up old quarterbacks, then I think that most knowledgeable football fans would be like, damn, they definitely did take a step. You know, like there is, they are headed in the right direction. But to be top 10, yeah, I mean, probably need to trade for Max Crosby. I can't see how you get there without 17 healthy games from DeMarvion Overshown, and you need some good health from your corners as well.
Yeah, I think you guys knocked that out of the park. Would you rather have a defensive rookie of the year from Downs, Lawrence, or Barnett?
Ooh, that's a great question. That's fun.
Danny loves cookies.
That's Lawrence for me. This isn't even a tough question. And I say it because if he's that monster of an edge rusher, like,
damn, that's a fun question.
The floor for me on Downs is so high that, like, even if he's just like, if you tell me he didn't win rookie of the year or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, but I know he was still really good, really solid.
Yeah.
But if
you know what, for, you know what Downs is gonna have to do to win rookie of the year, John? He's gonna have to get the interceptions. Yeah, we'll watch absolutely. The plays in the box and be like, oh, he's a dog. But right. if he gets 2 to 3 interceptions and 4 or like a fumble forced to do something crazy, he'll get it for sure. Cause the name recognition, he's a star.
I could see him being just really good and solid across the board, ends up with like 2 picks, like 2 or 3 sacks, maybe a fumble recovery. And he's just like, he's one of the better players in their defense. But Lawrence, if he was to end up with like 10 sacks and nobody else on the team had more than 6 or something like that, and then obviously the defense is incredibly improved from last
year. Would that even win it though?
Then he could be in that mix.
Who was defense rookie of the year last year?
Oh,
because I know the cat in Atlanta had 10 sacks.
What about Seattle?
James Pierce. I think it was Nicky Minwari, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? James Pierce had 10 sacks. They ain't really do, you know? So
No. The team has to do well. Like in this scenario, I'm thinking of like Lawrence with like 10 sacks, but the defense has made this big turnaround. They're like a 12-win team. They're in the playoffs. But people Carson look at Schweizer. It, they're like, oh wow, this guy's leading the Cowboys in sacks and he's got 10 and just the Cowboys brand behind all of that. James Pierce does 10 sacks on this Dallas Cowboys defense. He's winning rookie of the year.
Also, it was Carson.
Oh, a lot of Falcons defense was good. Oh, it was not good.
But they're the Falcons.
They're the Falcons, correct. Let me tell you why it's Barham. Because if Barham. Because
I got a different answer than both of y'all.
If Barham at linebacker, and look, I would love for it to be Downs. But yeah. I don't think you need Downs to be defensive rookie of the year for your safety play to be impactful. At this current rate, if Barham does defensive rookie of the year at linebacker, aren't we looking at a Micah Parsons type rookie year where we're getting a lot of sacks, a lot of tackles? We're at linebacker, we're on the line, so we're moving around, rushing the passer, dropping back, 100-plus tackles, plus he's getting 10-plus sacks. That is not just defensive rookie of the year, ladies and gentlemen. That is defensive player of the year type of numbers. And if you get that, that's how you go from worst to being one of the most respected defenses in the league, a la what happened under my... Now, they have some other players there. But to me, if Barham can be defensive rookie of the year, it's not going to be off of 4.5 sacks. Shouts out to my man in the Rams who had the 4.5 sacks. It's going to be because he's an impact player at the line of scrimmage in the run game, pass game, and dropping back. And there's probably only one person on this list that could do all of that to win an award because of the position they're in.
Yeah, it would be hard for me to envision him having that type of an impact just because that's a lot to ask for somebody that the entire NFL allowed to fall to the third round. You know, like we look at Micah Parsons, it's crazy to let him fall there. With Lawrence, I could see where they're like, well, you know, he was kind of a situational pass rusher at UCF. We saw the tools, but we didn't think he would put it all together in the NFL level. I guess for me, it might be a little bit more believable, but Barham, I wouldn't disagree with you. I mean, if you tell me that he's NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, then yeah, that was a monster here.
I mean, that was a question.
The correct answer is Caleb freaking Downs. You know why? He can sack the quarterback. He can take the ball away. He can play in the middle of the defense. He's going to have fumbles. That's the correct answer. Let's get to this $19.
Carson Schlesinger won it.
That's what I'm saying, John. Like,
yeah, he did.
Go ahead.
Why do we need Max to be top 10? Who are the top 10 defenses, and who is the Max Crosby of the Pats or Seahawks? y'all stop being, oh, he got smoke for us. Y'all stop being scary. So I'll answer this because I said it, and I don't know about anybody else. The reason why you need Max is because you don't have premium players on each level, and I feel like Seattle does. Now, Seattle doesn't have high sack volume, and that's been kind of the argument for, you know, why, like, you know, Seattle, they didn't have this special edge. But, brother, they have great players in the back end. Great players in the back end. I'm talking about across the board. Safeties are good. And the linebacker room is good as well. And, like, Mike McDonald was in year two of that defense. So the coaching is really good, and it mattered. So thank you for the $19, but that's my answer.
Oscar's killing me in the chat. He said, bar him excessive speech. Thank you. And then drives the mic. That is so true. That's exactly what it would be, man. He has, you know, he has no interest in talking to any of us, like, after these practices are over. Grabs his pants and goes right in the locker room.
I'm trying to be as respectful as possible to fans like this, because I hate this. This, y'all stop being scary shit. See, if this was my show, I would have told him to call in, because we'd have been going back and forth.
Why, man? Everyone's got their own opinion.
But the whole y'all stop being, don't tell me I'm being scared. You're not listening scared. Now. Okay, now I'll do Rags Guy. You want Durag Sky? Durag Sky here now.
You got it.
Scary about what? Are you listening to what we're saying? Or you just want us to give you all these Skittles and rainbows? Because there's no way you're listening.
He got it. He got Durag Sky.
There's no way you're listening. Scary. No, I don't give a damn about top 10. Max Crosby makes you a legitimate probably feared playoff defense right now in August. You try to tell me we feared? Stop, man, that's Kool-Aid then with a whole bunch of sugar in it, probably some Coke. Like, you doing too much, man. Ain't nobody being scary.
Coke and Kool-Aid is crazy.
Rashawn Gary.
What are we talking about, man?
Rashawn Gary and Max Crosby on the edges with Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams in the middle.
What are we talking about? Listen, do we need Max Crosby to be a better defense? No. Do we need him to be? I don't give a shit about this top 10 crap. I want to be a legitimate defense in the playoffs. I don't care if that's 12, 14, 15, 9, 10, 1, 2. Now, if I could be 1-2, awesome. But you ain't fit to be 1-2. Without that guy, I can tell you that not in year one with this roster. Stop playing. I'm sorry.
But thank you for the super chat. We appreciate it.
I can't follow that, y'all. Like, honestly,
I don't like the stop being scary thing, Fuzz. That's what get me, bro.
No, you not. Listen, these people got to understand there's also a realism to things. It's not about being. I'm the most optimistic person there is, but guys, we were the worst defense in the NFL, almost in NFL history. Jamal, I'm talking to you. We were the worst defense in NFL history. And that's why I've said all offseason, you're not just going to get to the top 10 like this. That's not how coaching works.
You know, it's funny. He brings up the Patriots in Seattle, right? The Patriots in Seattle spent buku bread. They made buku moves to be where they were at last year. And they didn't bring in a first-year defensive coordinator. These are guys who have done it. So, like, it's just somebody said, it's about not being delusional. Again, if y'all want me to live in hope, I'll give you hope. Yeah. I'll stay in the hope.
I'm the hope guy, Sky. No. You stay there. I'm the hope guy. I'll say this though, to Sky's point, you don't need this. I don't understand. You don't need this defense to be top 10, y'all. I'ma tell you that. You do not need this defense to year one. You don't. You need this defense to give. I said it. Alley-oops. You want this defense to give your offense alley-oops. Give me a turnover that I wasn't expecting when the offense is fluttering a little bit.
Win me a damn game, Foots.
Been a while since we've seen that.
Hey, I was watching this game with my son. 2000, man, what year
was
it?
Thank you for the super chat, Jamal. Seriously.
Appreciate you, Jamal.
2003? Sorry, go on.
No, so I think it was 2018. We won 13-10, bro. We scored 13 points, I think, in the first half. Ain't scored a single point. Can y'all fathom not scoring a single point in the second half of a national football game for the Dallas Cowboys where they only had 10 or 13 and win over the last couple seasons? Absolutely not.
And I'm telling you, people keep bringing up the Pats. You really got to do your research. The Pats started off a little rocky. And I love this guy said this about, and thank you for another super chat. We'll read it as well tomorrow.
Hey, Jamal.
Watch him be top 10. Hey, he wants smoke. I love it. Keep sending that smooth chat. You get smoke. I love you, Jamal. Much love.
I don't
you,
know bro. How long Jamal been here, but if he ain't been on my show, he just got Durag's guy. But it's all love. It's all part.
I'm gonna tell you this though, because I asked Cody Alexander about this, and he said this, John. He said, "Listen, and this is to Sky's point. Don't go crucifying Christian Parker after one bad game, because the Pats got better as the season went on, as they figured out their personnel, as they figured out what worked for them." So week one, it may not hit. Now, the difference is the Cowboys have a much better offense than the Pats. That's the difference. If we're talking about a scheme, we're talking about the full scope of things, the Cowboys have much better players, I will say that, than the Pats. They do. So, and a much better offensive line. So that's the difference. But people throw that pass defense out there. In the beginning of the season, they weren't the same defense as they are now.
Give me that schedule, too, the Patriots have.
They definitely had a Lulu schedule. Definitely. Jamal says, at least you answered. I like the spunk. Watch us be top 10. Great show as always. Thank you, Jamal. And on that note, we are going to end this show.
Spunk. I appreciate that, Jamal.
Oh, wait till y'all get in season Sky and Foot. Y'all gonna really get some smoke. And
I even scare them away, Foots. No, I'm chilling.
You gonna get in season John too. Trust me. I love in season John when he go off and he give you a curse word or two. But listen, we're gonna let John go. Both of these brothers have been doing a lot of work. Sky, thank you for all you do. John, thank you for all you do. Vach, we miss you today. We love you. We will see you guys on the next one. Cowboys Collective is the best podcast. When it comes to podcast collections and stuff, there's no other place that you need to be. Locked in right here. We love you. We'll see you on the next one. Are you not entertained?